There we go. All right. I can remember too. Amen. All right. Well, that's not right. Okay.
No, I'll move it back.
Okay. Here we go. I'm glad you all are laid back. All right. We'll just... There we go. Very good. Okay. Well, amen-ski. All right. You can just put ski on the end of anything, and it sounds Russian, amen. But anyway, it is good to see you all again, and I guess there's lots of ups and downs, I get, with missions and with our supporting churches, things like that, and kind of the good thing is you get to meet a lot of God's people across the country, and the bad side is you kind of blow in and blow out. And so we did get to spend a day with the Stevens, and we have fond memories with your pastor's family. And my wife couldn't be here today, and the kids, they got the crud a little bit and had the flu, and we've all been kind of battling that. We also had the rug jerked out from under our feet. We had to move from where we were kind of basing, and so we just literally moved into another place just a couple days ago. We still have boxes and haven't unpacked or anything like that, so we're kind of just in constant transition. They say it in Russian, chemodanное настроение, which means a suitcase frame of mind. So anyway, it's good to see some familiar faces, and it's also good to see some new faces. And for those of you who maybe don't remember us from 2005, we are the Rue family, and yeah, we're very, very thankful for strong churches, stable churches. I literally go across the country, and sometimes we come away from a meeting where either the church is very unstable and or the pastor. And I'm telling you, I've just told my wife, I'm not going to fill them in. They're not going to support us. I know it. I've been at this already 20-something years, you know, so you can tell. I appreciate your pastor. He's a solid man, and just it's the way God does things is he usually builds a ministry around a man. And like that or not, agree with that or not, that just seems to be the way it works. And so I thank God for your pastor and his faithfulness and his stability. Praise God for stability. And in anything but stable world. And it's good to be back. And I do sincerely, genuinely thank you all for your faithful prayers, for your support, for getting up every morning and going to work and fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. And reading your Bible and praying and tithing and giving and serving to it, all of it all works together and helps us do what we do over in Ukraine. And without you, I wouldn't say we couldn't do it, but boy, it sure would be hard. And I thank God for America because what God has given the world through the church that the church enjoys. The liberty that she enjoys in the United States of America, for better or for worse, there is not any other country. There are no countries that are sending out the gospel light like the United States of America. And it's because of the freedoms that we have here. And so don't take them for granted. And, thank God for you. But anyway, we're the Rue family. My name is Christopher Rue, and this is my wife, Naomi. This is my oldest son, Joshua. He's down in Pensacola right now, going to school, kind of transitioning from being a, teenager, whatever that is, to a young man, trying to transition from being a Ukrainian to an American, and trying to be from, in mom and dad's house to being on his own. So he's at that stage in his life right now, and I'm thankful that he's down there. This is my oldest daughter, Miriam. She's awesome. I thank God for her, and God kind of broke the mold when he made her, and we've been trying ever since to get another one like her, as you can tell, but it just isn't happening. So anyway, this is Benjamin, Samuel, Christopher, Michael, and here's our newest addition, Joseph. He's 10 months old. And we're sent out of the Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola and serving with Charity Baptist Mission in Bristol, Tennessee. The Lord's called us to Ukraine. If you don't know where Ukraine is, just find Israel on the map and go straight north. And you will go through Turkey, through the Black Sea. Straight north of the Black Sea is Ukraine. It's about the size of Texas. It has about 50 million people. It was called the breadbasket of the former Soviet Union. Most of the World War II, the war with the Nazis and the Russians and that kind of thing, it was all fought here. They say that there has never, in recorded history, human history, has there ever been 100 years of peace on Russian territory. Or, I'm sorry, in Ukrainian territory. And so most of the, it's like the trans-European, Asian, they call it Eurasia. And it's kind of the bridge between the East and the West. It borders Moldova, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, Belarus. And then there's that terrible, dreadful neighbor over there. And anyway, we won't go there too much. But anyway, it's a former Soviet republic. And so what that means is we've had the blessing of trying to help clean up and pick up all the pieces that the communists, socialists, Darwinists, atheists, humanists, all those ists. Those are kind of like the modern-day ites, you know, the Canaanites, Hivites, Perizzites, all those. That's just, we have to deal with the ists and what a mess they make. You just can't put power, government things into the hands of atheists and expect good things. It's not going to happen. And so anyway, I will refrain from preaching about the evils of communism and socialism and why in the world is it here, but anyway, in the United States. But they said religion is the opium of the people, but they did have their religion. It's all faith-based. It's all in Darwinism and Marxism and all the other isms. But they worship man, humanism. This is Lenin. They worship Lenin. They practically still visit his tomb to this day. They paint his monuments in gold. They visit him with flowers on his birthday. And they do. They still to this day. This I have to pass by this guy, you know, often whenever I'm in the center of town. But Ukraine's kind of just struggling with her identity. If you can imagine what it must be like to go from being a superpower to a third world country, if you can imagine that, it's hard for Americans to imagine what it would be like. What would it be like if one day you woke up and the United States was no longer the United States? What if your bank account, your retirement, your IRAs, everything, your pension, everything that you had financially was gone? What if your factory shut down, you lost your job, the whole system shut down and collapsed? That's what happened over here. You went from being a superpower and identified by, we are the USSR, SSSR, the SSSR. Everything was just constantly bombardment of this SSSR, the USSR. And now they're just, we're Ukrainian. What does that mean? What does it mean to be Ukrainian? Because the Kremlin suppressed all of their history, their identity as Ukrainians. And so they're trying to bring that back. And bringing it into the schools. They're bringing back their heroes, their poets, and their, you know, writers and history and things like that. Unfortunately, what seems to unite them today is the Russian Orthodox Church. People have been completely disappointed and discouraged by, you know, capitalism, by what they consider democracy. And they've just kind of all gathered together under some kind of a banner that gives them identity, and that is the Russian Orthodox Church. And so what we've seen in the past, really the past 10 years especially, has been a shift from it was very, very open, and there was a lot of interest in like a vacuum about spiritual matters, to a gradual complete disappointment, to the government was looking for something to unite the people. Of course, the Russian Orthodox Church was saying, hey, here we are. And they kind of, religion and politics seem to go, they're common bedfellows. And they help each other out. And those are the two realms that the devil works in, you know. And so it's kind of like the unofficial state church is what it's become. And so everybody went from being an atheist, you know, that were sending Christians to concentration camps, and now they're like the only Christians on the planet. And they think that they invented Christianity. It's gone that far to where now we're a cult, we're a sect, and all those kind of things. And so it is a very difficult place still, not as bad like it was, but economically it's still very difficult. People live from hand to mouth. Like I said, the whole thing shut down, collapsed, and so people went from being dependent, completely dependent on the government, to having to be self-sufficient. So they lived out of their gardens and do anything that they possibly could to get their daily bread. Everybody ate bread. They ate bread with everything. And they said without it, they'd go hungry. They need the bread of life, of course. This is a picture of a community farm town. It's a picture that needs to be explained, and I think something here in this part of the United States you would understand. If I could take this horizon and just stretch it as far as the eye could see, if it was America, you would see all the countryside dotted with independent farms. I've been in places, and I've counted that it's sometimes over 10, sometimes 15 farms in eyeshot. And each farmer has his own house, he has his own barn, he has his equipment, he has his own land, and he's able to live off the fruits of their labor. And it's all farmed. It's all growing corn or soybeans or something. I'm not going to get into Monsanto, but anyway. Over there, if I could take this same thing, and if you could, you know, as far as the eye could see, you would not see farms. You would see farmland, and yes, it would be planted, and somebody had worked it, and they're growing it, but these are the farmers. It's called a community farm. Communal, communism. They had community farm towns, and this was the community barn, and this was the system that was installed by which they had three man-made famines. Especially Stalin was very, very heavy-handed. And what it was, the system was essentially this. He would tell the farmers, you have X amount of hectares of land in your community, and so we expect X amount of a harvest. You're supposed to give us, the government, this much because we own the land and they're practically slaves or serfs. However, they've been equal and liberated for some strange reason. But anyway, they live in dire poverty in these towns and villages and things like that. And it's just an awful system. It's a godless system. And anyway, Stalin would come in, take all the grain, and tell them, well, you can have whatever's left over. And of course, there wouldn't be anything left over. And people would literally starve in the wintertime. And if you were caught hoarding grain or anything, you were taken out and publicly hung. And so that's your communists and your atheists and your socialists. And that's the crowd. That's what they do. And they haven't changed. And green is the new red. Anyway, think about that for a minute. Anyway, it's a very agricultural place. They got wonderful fruits and vegetables. We love that part of it. But our first term was spent learning the language, got acquainted with culture, began laying a foundation for the work. Of course, you got to learn the Russian language, and this is a sample. It says, Ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что отдал сына своего единородного, дабы всякий верующий в него не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную. At the Ioan 3:16, that's John 3:16 in the Russian language. And God opened a wonderful door. I was able to study in the Odessa State University. I studied there almost 7 years. I got a couple of different certificates and diplomas. I like this one the best. It's like show and tell. Anyway, because this one has still the communist hammer and sickle. It had communist teachers, communist textbooks. It gets constant, you know, bombardment of all this godlessness. And so we did this a lot. Ukraine is divided into 25 administrative districts. They're named after the main city in that area. We call them states. They call them oblasts. That on the Black Sea is the Odessa Oblast, named after the city of Odessa. And then each oblast is divided into counties. They call them regions. And then right here is a region where no one was preaching. There was no gospel witness out here. And it was a region called Rozdilna in the Ukrainian language, or Razdilnaya in the Russian language. So God, after praying, God led us out there, and we started preaching and teaching the Word of God and saw people come to Christ and bear fruit. And, you know, it wasn't just fly-by-night, you know, decisions, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. These are people that actually, you know, came to church and got their Bible and studied the Bible and followed the Lord in believers' baptism and became witnesses, and just a lot of stories here. There's a lot of lives, and everybody has a story, and a lot of them are tragic. And I would love to tell you their stories, amazing stories. That sister right there got some amazing stories. She was under conviction, wasn't saved yet, she was visiting Bible studies with, you know, the KGB coming in and breaking up the meetings and stuff like that. She's a tough gal, that girl. This sister right here, Alla Pavlovna, she was a survivor of the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Came to church, and, you know, just an amazing stories, and a lot of them very tragic. That's what you find, is everybody has a tragic story that sometimes you wouldn't even believe. And The neat thing about her is that, you know, here she is over 60 years old, and then she meets a missionary that was sent from America who tells her about Jesus Christ, and she believes in Jesus Christ and gets saved. After all of that, Ravensburg was a death camp, and she survived it. And what a blessing, folks. She's in heaven today, Sister Luba. She was convinced I was a spy. For 2 years, she didn't get saved. She's like, I watched you for 2 years. I could not figure out why anybody would bring their family and live here from America. You know, you had to be a spy. And then she realized it was the real deal. But anyway, she got saved. Just different pictures from those earlier years. Got to give out a lot of Bibles over the years, and mostly thankful to the Couriers for Christ. They've really provided us with a lot. But I think we've given away something like, there's been over 10,000 Bibles gone out. I remember being there in 92 and nobody had any Bibles. They were hard. You couldn't find them. And so that's been a real blessing and a real joy. We got to start with a good core group of people that were discipled and wanted a local church. We got to found the Bible Baptist Church of Rozdelnaya and began a Bible Institute at that time as well. Just one night a week, and God gave us two blessings. We went back for a second term. Just continued building on the work and on the ministry. God gave us a building. We went from renting a civic center, what they call it, a house of culture, and we never had heat. And with like 6 years, we never had heat, and it gets cold. We call it singing our antifreeze. I mean, it's just, let's sing, you know, get the blood going. But anyway, we have our own building now. We got to remodel the inside. It looks real nice. They got this new stuff that showed up in the marketplace called gypsum board or drywall. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it's real high-tech stuff. It was back then. But anyway, we like you, we have a ministry to children, and our ministry in a lot of ways resembles a lot of churches here in the States. We've led our teachers to Christ. We've discipled them, taught them, trained them. We've given Sunday school worker seminars, not only for our people, but for other missionaries as well. Began working with children with Bible clubs, with, you know, Daily Vacation Bible School, and we've been doing that now for, 12 years or so. And the Nationals, they put those things together, do a great job. I like to show up and just play with the kids. And last year, I think I was Spider-Man on one day, and I was Sin one day, and I was all, you can just get to play. It's fun. And we've got grown-ups in our church now that got saved as a result of these Bible clubs, so which is a real blessing. Began working with youth group. This was our first real solid kind of a youth group where we had regular activities with them. Began that during that second term and just continued adding to the ministry, and God just continued giving us souls for our labor. Very, very thankful for that. Again, many stories here. Sister Dina, she was a mean, cussing, mad, spitting babushka. I mean, she was rough. She literally, I was at her house, her daughter invited Naomi and I over to her house for supper. And she came in, I mean, she literally cussed and spit. And she was just mean. But if you had her life, you'd be mean too, you know. And as a result of her drunkenness, while she was watching her grandbaby, the grandbaby got into a bottle of aspirin and overdosed and died in the mother's arms as she was trying to run her to the hospital. I mean, just tragic stuff. And then she was, you know, just miserable and mean. And then she got gangrene and they had to cut off part of her leg. And that's when she got saved. And she went from being that mean, cussing woman to one of those sweetest grandmothers I ever met. And she'd come to church in her wheelchair, and she'd sit back there and cry and smile. I mean, and she passed away a couple of years ago. Her son's not saved, and we, you know, preached her funeral and everything. And her son said, you know what, my last memory of my mother was that I left that day, and she was seated by the window with her Bible on the windowsill, and she was reading her Bible. That's my last memory of my mother. I said, you are a blessed man. I said, you can thank Jesus Christ for that, because not everybody has that. I said, if it hadn't been for him, your last memory would have been in your mother in a drunken stupor with a bottle and not a Bible. You know, anyway, Brother Nikolai here, he was the son of a preacher who was taken away from him at a young age. He was there were five sons altogether. His older four brothers were saved. He was the last one. And he told stories about his recollections of his father and stuff like that. He became a sailor, just one of those cursing old, you know, hard sailors. But he got saved about 2 weeks after the Couriers for Christ campaign. He was there that night when I preached. And then he said over the course of 2 weeks, he almost died twice. He figured he better get saved. And so anyway, he was just a real blessing. And so just different pictures. I'd love to tell you all their stories. Taras Alexandrovich, he's the Ukrainian national. He was, first time I met him, I mean, he hated Russians with a passion. He was just, my first memory, impression of him was, he slammed his fist on the table. We will go to the battlefield and die before we become their slaves again. You know, it's just rough, you know. But anyway, he's a school teacher. He's a blessing. Just different pictures. And she's a character. She's from way up in Siberia in Murmansk. Yeah. Makes great pelamini, by the way. And just kept adding to the ministry. Like you were Baptist, we eat. Amen. Every Baptist church has a kitchen brigade, you know. And I just wish that other parts of our ministry would run as well as that kitchen does at times. but anyway, we dinner on the grounds. We just do a lot of things just like you do. We started getting out into small towns and villages. During that time, we've been in, I think, about 20 villages, taking the gospel in that region over the years, and helped this sister right here with for about 5 years. We had a medical ministry. We'd once a month, you know, run this route and treat people and get them the gospel. During that time, Couriers for Christ came over and asked us if we would host the Couriers for Christ campaign, which we did. I put together a Gospel of John, and at the time I was, you know, I didn't know that Brother Sturtz was planning this, but I put together a Gospel of John for village work, and I was asking God for 5,000 copies. We needed money for just 5,000, God, just to get started. And so Brother Sturtz called me up and said, I think we can get about 250,000, quarter of a million. Would that be enough? And so, praise the Lord. But you know what a blessing it is we've only got about 10,000 of those left. Over a 300 and something thousand of those things have gone out. That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. It's a missionary dream to be there and to see the Word of God get into place. When I remember it in 1992, and what a godless place it was. And anyway, they came over, and we had a great time. We promoted meetings in Russia, in Odessa, and in Lomonski, and in Razdelnaya, where our town is. We had about 250 people show up, a lot of them first-timers, and got to give away a bunch of Bibles, got to see people get saved, and went into different towns and villages during that time. We were getting our feet wet with village evangelism, and we got to see a lot of people get saved, and we were able to start, you know, the beginnings of churches in some of these places, Starostino and Kashari and Yakovlivka, places like that. We also began our Bible Institute, full-time Bible Institute, with Brother Richard Mayer, his men, our men. We got them together. They're about an hour away, and those were our first-year, second-year students, third-year. And then God gave us 12 men that graduated the Bible Institute. I thought the number 12 was a blessing, you know. Anyway, this guy here went out to Western Ukraine and started a church, and he's up there today. This brother is serving more in the middle of Ukraine. He went about 2 hours north. Brother Beck here is over in Moldova. He's like a missionary in the border country of Moldova. Brother Stas here, he's a missionary up in Siberia now. He raised his support in Ukraine, and he's been up there for, I don't know, going on 10 years. Brother Slavik, he's been helping us there and locally. This is another Brother Slavik. He's helping Brother Richard. He's not doing a whole lot, Brother Ruslan. You need to pray for him. Sansanovich was a sweet man, a dear man, and he went on to be with the Lord. Mikhailovich, that man quotes from memory a psalm every Sunday. Every Sunday, but he's just a blessing in his local church. Brother Artyom is a new family. He's got a baby, just had a baby 2 or 3 days ago. And he's a real blessing in our church. He's been staying there and he's a real solid guy. Brother Zhenya here, he's a missionary up in Altai, in the Republic of Altai, and he's also just a helper in this church over there with Brother Richard. And so those were some good, that was time well invested. One of the hardest things we ever did, but boy, what a blessing it is to get reports back from Siberia and to meet new Christians that have been saved from Moldova and to see these new converts up in central Ukraine. It's a blessing, folks. A real blessing. Eugenia and Stas, they went up there to Altai. It's where China, Mongolia, and Kazakhstan, where they all meet. There's a tri-country area. And right in that little area is a little republic called Altai, named after the Altai Mountains. They all look like Mongolians, like Genghis Khan, you know. And so they've been up there now for, 8, 9 years. And God's been blessing them. Began working with literature. A lot of time was spent in that. The printed page goes where we cannot go. I've seen our literature show up in places, and I've seen just randomly go into a place, and I've actually seen people sit there that I've never met before. I have no idea how they got a copy of it. This is Salvation Plain and Simple. It's a word-for-word salvation sermon, and I've seen people just sit there and read it. And it's just a blessing. The printed page goes where we can't, and so it's very, very well worth our time and our investment in that. We got 3 years worth of Bible Institute materials, stuff for preachers, doctrinal materials, discipleship materials, stuff for the family, and God gave us another two blessings during that term. It was a busy term. Went back for our third term and just continued building on that. But God moved us out further into the inland, and so now we're kind of country bumpkins. We live very close to the ground, and God's given us a bunch of little fruit trees, and I'm learning all that. I got about 25 grapevines and cherry trees and apricots and plums and pears and all. I got all that stuff, and so this Cincinnati kid has ended up in Podunk, Ukraine, and it's kind of funny how the Lord works. But God continues to give us blessings and give us fruit. And I don't have all the pictures. As a matter of fact, we lost during one of those security check things. We had a hard drive that had all of our pictures from our last term on that hard drive, and it's gone. So I'm really, really hoping I can find something when I get back to Ukraine. But these aren't all the pictures. But we had a lot of other people that have been saved over the years, especially these last 7 or 8 years. But we continue to grow and continue to build the ministry. The Lord's opened up a door. We now are in an orphanage and doing what we can there, just do what we can to love those kids and to give them food and clothing. The director often calls and says, hey, we need some help, and we help them out, tell them about the Lord. The Lord's put a burden on my heart to have a youth camp, and so we've been doing that now for about 5 years every year. I don't know if you know who this guy is right here, don't you? Brother Sutek, yeah, he came over twice and preached the youth camp, and so I wanted it to be a Bible-believing youth camp. I got so tired of all this new stuff coming over and all this nonsense and high-pressure invitations and just music that's always borderline and then having to deal with, you know, bad doctrine. I just got tired of it, and so we just weeded out all of that, and we had just a Bible-believing youth camp, and so that our teenagers could kind of get together and support each other and have a good time. And we had our last youth camp was a real blessing. We had a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that time. These were the youth from our church. And we had the last day was supposed to be a half an hour testimony, see you next year type of a thing. It turned into a 3-hour testimony altar call. And we had like 3 kids got saved. And then just as soon as we would get ready to shut it down and sing a hymn, I was going to say goodbye, they started coming to the altar on their own. That happened in like 3 or 4 waves like that. It was a blessing, a real blessing. And so God sent us some helpers. Really thankful for the Casey and Sarah Klein that are helping us now. And I had to put that picture in there. Amen. That's male bonding right there. Amen. And so anyway, this Brother Stas up there in by Mongolia. I don't know about you, but I don't have any problems when I think about him and how he gets his water. Amen. He's always got that smile. And so he's a real blessing. I'm working now with Brother Sasha and his wife. They're starting a church in Ilyachovsk. And anyway, I'll just kind of wrap it up right now. I'd like to preach a little bit. But these are our new blessings. Amen. We seem to have them in pairs, but I'm good. I'm good. Enough's enough. Amen. So anyway, thank you for your continued prayers and your support. And it does mean a lot to us. And so hope it was a blessing to you.